yes, the university, but the ground background, yes, the university is the main major factor for incitement against Professor Nadira Shalhoub Kufurkian, and the university is the body who put her personal security in danger.
This was Dr. Hassan Jabarin, Adala's general director, about the suspension and arrest of internationally renowned professor Nadira Shalhoub Kufurkian, who is a tenured professor at Hebrew University for the last 30 years and a faculty member at Queen Mary University. She's served as a visiting professor at numerous universities around the United States and Europe, authored multiple books, and consulted several international organizations and UN bodies.
Dr. Jabarin, along with Allama Hajni, represented Professor Shalhoub Kufurkian in both courts to secure her release.
In mid-March, Hebrew University suspended Professor Shalhoub Kufurkian, and on Thursday, April 18th, the police arrested her based on allegations of incitement. She was detained overnight and released on Friday after the Jerusalem Magistrates and District Court rejected the police's request to extend her detention. However, the campaign of persecution against her is far from over. The police have now summoned her for further interrogation. Dr. Jabarin represented Professor Shalhoub Kufurkian before both courts to secure her release. We'll explore implication of this case on broader Israeli academia, law enforcement, and the ongoing attempt to silence dissent from Palestinians within Israel. I'm co-host of Adala's podcast, Miriam Azim from Adala. Before we start, I just want to remind you to follow and share our content. Good morning, Hassan. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Good morning, Miriam.
So I'd like to start with a bit of context and background. Can you walk us through how we reached a point where an internationally renowned academic and author like Professor Nadira Shalhoub Kufurkian, who has been a tenured professor at Hebrew University and holds other prestigious positions, was arrested? And has that ever happened before?
Miriam, as you know, that the Israeli police under Ben Gvir in this war violate the basic and the fundamental principles of freedom of expression, and they violate the rule of law. They started this war when they put total ban against the Palestinian citizens of Israel to demonstrate. Even protests that doesn't need any license, they prohibited and arrested illegally people who attempt to participate in protest. And they indicted many Palestinian youth, men and women, for publication in their social media when this publication has nothing to do with criminality. So if we look to this background, we will see that it's very normal and part of the normality that this illegality create by Israeli police to investigate, to arrest academic person, critic person like Professor Shalhoub Kufurkian, and to try to humiliate her. They did that for the high follow-up committee of the Palestinian citizen when they have no legal reasoning for that. So I think we have to see it as part of the illegality and the criminality of Israeli police under the most official racist person in Israeli history, Ben Gvir.
So even though this is unprecedented that such a renowned academic has been arrested, you're saying that it makes sense in light of the police's behavior over at least the last several months?
Yes, I think that this is part of the situation that this police created. And the most important thing that we complain against this criminality of the police, against the fact that the police became the main major factor of violating the rule of law, we complained to the Attorney General and we asked the Attorney General to intervene. And this is part of the role of the Attorney General, but she didn't. And here, what was the role of the Attorney General? She gave them the okay to investigate Professor Kofarkian. She didn't give them the okay to arrest her, but to open investigation against her podcast, although it was discussed in public and she gave answer to the Hebrew University, and the file with her and the Hebrew University was closed in the end after she has the hearing with the university. Despite all of that, the Attorney General empower the police of Ben-Gvir and give the police the authority to investigate, because in those cases of incitement, the police cannot open investigation without the confirmation and the affirmation of the Attorney General. And in this case, the Attorney General affirmed and confirmed to the police to open investigation. So we can see this role between the police and the Attorney General in Palestinian cases. I have to say that the Attorney General in Jewish internal cases, she stood for the rule of law. But the price that she paid, that she silenced in the cases of the Palestinians, citizen here, and she goes hand with hand with Ben-Gvir. And we are the victims of this policy.
When I said that what is happening in Gaza is a genocide, of course, 2 months afterward, the ICJ is looking at it, and they even issued provisional measures against the State of Israel. But I also need to remind us all that the academic space is a space that's supposed to be a space whereby we share our ideas, the multiplicity of ideas. And then the Hebrew University is sending me a letter saying, telling me that this academic institution, which is the Hebrew University, is a Zionist institution, which means if my narrative is an anti-Zionist and my narrative is a clear...
So in the court hearing on Friday, the 19th of April, before the Jerusalem Magistrates Court and then before the District Court as well, the police claimed that she was arrested for severe incitement due to statements against Zionism and allegations of Israel committing genocide in Gaza. Is there a law in Israel that criminalizes anti-Zionist speech? Is there some legal ground to this arrest?
No, there is no law criminalizing person to be anti-Zionist. In fact, most of the Haredim leaders in Israel are anti-Zionists.
So those are the ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel.
Right. So there is no law. And about genocide, there is no law in Israel say that if you claim that Israel is committing a genocide, it's incitement. The opposite. There is a law which passed in 1950 after the end of the Second World War and after the Holocaust. Israel law said that Israel joined the International Convention to prohibit genocide. And if you incite for genocide, to make genocide against people, this is the crime. Like the opposite of this case. So here you have two steps. First, there is no law to criminalize person to be anti-Zionist or to claim that Israel is genocide. And the second angle of that, the state, the police, and the Israeli prosecutor, and the Attorney General investigate Professor Nadira Shalhoub Kofarkian for incitement. But at the same time, they don't investigate any professor, any Jewish extreme right-wing academic who incite for genocide. Meaning, if there is a law, the law said that you are not allowed to incite for genocide. And we know many cases of Israeli professors, academics, and officials that they incited for genocide. And they say that we have to kill the Palestinians in Gaza, and there is no distinction between civilians and combatant in Gaza. All of them combatant, thus everyone you can kill. So this is the crime here. And the state is silent about this crime because the state itself is a criminal.
Yeah, and in that context, the ICJ is also very relevant, that ordered not only that there is a plausible case for that Israel is committing genocide, but also mandated that Israel must investigate and punish all those that are inciting to violence, to genocide, sorry. But instead of that, the police is now going after those right. that are expressing concerns and their outcry against the genocide. And I want to ask you a bit about Hebrew University's role in that, because they suspended Professor Shelhub Gafurkian, which arguably set the scene for her arrest. What role do you believe that the university played in this case, and how do you view their involvement in the broader persecution campaign against her?
This is a good question, because you give me the ability also to add to my answer, first answer. It's not only Ben-Gvir who contribute and create this situation. In this case, we can say that the university and the leaders of the university are first to be blamed for the situation that led to that Professor Shelhub Gafurkian was brought in jail and arrested for one night at least, which was her nightmare. In the beginning of the war, after 2-3 weeks, Nadira joined petition which warned for against committing a genocide against Palestinian children. And it was the focus of this petition, children, Palestinian children, right? And the university immediately start to incite against her. Many professors sign to condemn her speech and to make the condemnation public. They publish that they are condemning him. And the university rector and the president, I think, they ask her to resign. And they made it public. And by this, the right wing started to incite against her and to use it against her, and her personal security, her family security became in danger. I spoke with her then as a lawyer, and the most important thing was for her the personal security of her husband, of her daughters, of herself. And they brought guards, and they left the house because of that. And then came the broadcast that she made in the 8th or 9th of March. And immediately the university said that you have to resign. And in fact, we are going to suspend you and to fire you because you denied the fact that women were raped in the 7th of October, and you were anti-Zionist in your speech, in your broadcast, in the broadcast. And then they had hearing with her after they made it public that they are suspending her, and they suspended her. And all the country, of course, when you are in time of war, it's easy to incite against person who criticized the army. After the hearing, it was clear that she didn't deny rapes. She said, I am as a feminist, believe if there are women say that they were raped, of course I will believe them. And all what happened in 7th October, it wasn't happening on my name. And I said that it's not on my name. And I am allowed to be anti-Zionist. Then after this hearing, the university stopped the suspension. And she returned back to the university. I think what happened here, that the university found that internationally it was a serious critique against the university step. In fact, also we have to admit that from the university itself, you have also many professors, some of them who signed against her in the beginning, they were against this position of the university to suspend their about 130 professors that they signed, and they said that yes, we disagree with her speech, but it's not criminal what she said and doesn't reach incitement, and this is part of her academic freedom to say that. So two factors help here in this case: this, the internal critique from professors of the university, and international pressure. But for your question, yes, the university put the ground background, that yes, the university is the main major factor for incitement against Professor Nadira Shalhoub Koufarkian, and the university is the body who put her personal security in danger.
So talking about the academia and Hebrew University, what do you think are the broader implications of this case on Israeli academia and on freedom of expression within the Israeli academia? And what does it teach us about the relationship between the academia and law enforcement?
First of all, here what the police created and made during the investigation is presidential. They investigate her more than 2 or 3 hours about her academic writing, about her publications, academic publications, about articles that they were published in very prestigious academic journals in the world. And this is very, very dangerous for every critic Israeli academics, whether he or she Palestinians or a Jewish left person that might find themselves under investigation because what they wrote academically. Although the law said that you cannot be indicted for incitement for academic publication. Second, here we see the role of the university, as I spoke about it, but there is another thing that the universities, some of them may play a bad role during this war. We know about cases that universities give the police names of Palestinian students to open investigation against them for incitement. We knew that some of the university choose that to chase those students through the police in order to leave their hand clean before the international public and in order not to face like problems of boycott or critique. But we know about cases that they address the names and the publications Palestinian students to the police, and the police arrested the Palestinian students.
And that's all based on social media posts.
Yes, yes, only social media. And social media that has nothing to do with incitement, just because the interpretation of the university and the police saw it as incitement. For example, in the beginning of the war, any solidarity with the suffering of the Palestinian people in Gaza was perceived by the universities that solidarity with terror, sympathy with terror, supporting with terror, supporting of terror, and speech supporting the enemy in wartime. This is how it was interpreted, like you cannot express your Palestinianhood and say, I am with my people. They're suffering regardless whether I agree or disagree about what Hamas did in 7th of October. In fact, most of the cases, I think more than 95% of the cases of the Palestinian students has nothing to do with the 7th of October, in the meaning that we don't have cases that the person say directly, I support Hamas or I support what they did. It was all of this interpretation of the universities and the police.
So it sounds to me like that case made clear that not only are students going to be punished for their speech when it's, I would say, outside of the Israeli mainstream, but also academics and professors, even if they're renowned internationally.
Yeah, yeah. After the arrest of Nadira, some of the Arab academics call me and they start to consult with me legally, whether if they participate in some conferences, it's legal or illegal. There is a fear among Palestinian students and Palestinian academics that the Israeli universities, at least some of the Israeli universities, not all of them, might chase them, or the police also will chase them. And one of the surveys shows that 51%, I think, of the Palestinian students don't feel safe in the Israeli campuses.
قرار توقيف دكتور نادرة هو جزء من مسار جديد بمعنى أنه صار أوضح من المؤسسة الإسرائيلية تجاه الصوت الوطني الحر والأخلاقي والإنساني اللي رفض الحرب ورفض جرائم الإبادة وسياسات التجويع لشعبنا في غزة.
Yeah, and just one final question. Before court, when you presented, you talked a lot about what you just said about her being investigated based on her academic work. And one of the police's claims was that she was dangerous because she had a lot of exposure, both domestically and internationally, and that her statements and critique was internationally was exposed internationally. What would you say to that?
Every critic person is putting Israel's reputation in danger internationally. Every critical position against Israeli army, again, what Israeli army is committing in Gaza, putting the reputation of this state in danger. But there is no crime to put the reputation of the state internationally in danger. There is no such a crime. And to help, or like her speech, of course, will strengthen the critique against the policy of Israel during this war. But that has nothing to do with national security. Has nothing to do. Israel has to face it through its propaganda machines, but has nothing to do with security. And here the police perceive any critique like that as critique that put the security in danger, because they don't distinguish between legitimate critique and illegitimate critique. When you led by fascist minister, this distinction is collapsed.
So you've been a lawyer for over 30 years now, and you've seen a lot of the stages of, you've lived through a lot of the many wars against Gaza and domestically, the critique against it and police persecution of citizens of Israel. What will you say, are we now in a new stage? Is this something that is new and unprecedented? And what will you say about the future?
We are in a new stage. The law, or the enforcement of the law after 7 October, is not like before. The law is still the same law, but the enforcement of the law is different. We in Adala were in more than 8 wars in the last 25 years. And each war we have our emergency cases, and we work during the war day and night. There are things that this war after the 7th of October was totally different than before. This is the first time that was put total ban against the Palestinians to demonstrate. We have never had total ban. This is the first war. Second, this is the first war that the police arrested people to have a protest when the protest has no need for license from the police. This is the first war that Israeli universities indicted students, Palestinian students, with this number for freedom of expression. And this is the first war that, in fact, the first time in Israeli history that academic person was arrested for academic publication and for incitement for that. We didn't have this experience. But you know me, Miriam, I am, as a human rights lawyer, I have to be optimistic. Otherwise, we cannot. So I see that some critique we started to see from Israeli public, like it came late from Israeli professors to support Nadira. Although it came late, but was helpful, and this gave me a little optimism. And also the international solidarity in the world against the Israeli policy, discriminatory policy, genocidal policy, all of this. And this international solidarity is the strongest ever that we are witnessing.
Thank you so much, Hassan.
Thank you, Miriam.